Let us pray. O Lord, you have promised to subdue the nations under the feet of Christ, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Lord, we thank you that the scriptures, the living word, are the mighty sword that Christ wields in order to subdue hearts under him. Please, O Lord, may they subdue our restless hearts tonight to serve him and love him more. Amen. Well, please turn with me to the book of Acts and chapter 17. And tonight, I'd like us to hear a passage that comes a little earlier in the chapter from the passage that we've been considering from Paul in Athens. So reading from verse 5 to verse 9. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them. And these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Well, over the past few weeks, we've been considering together Paul's approach to evangelism in Athens. And I hope that one of the things that's come across is how similar Athens then is to Britain today. And that the challenges and the beliefs that people hold today are so similar to what Paul had to take the gospel to in Athens. And that there's a great encouragement there for us. In many ways, that the scriptures are sufficient to guide us today and to teach us how to live as Christians, and to show us that just as Paul preached his gospel and saw fruit, so can we, and see lives transformed by God's grace. Well, we've considered the importance of the man, that just like Paul, we must know God's power in our own lives first. Unless we have been transformed by the grace of the gospel, truly our hearts are changed, then we cannot share the gospel with anyone else. We've also considered the importance of having the right motive, that we evangelize to make God known, to show how great he is, to share his glory, and it's not about us. And then third, we considered Paul's method, the way that he reasoned with the Greeks, and he attacked the root of all their beliefs, what was wrong at its foundation. And yet he did so with respect and grace. And then last Sunday evening, we considered the marketplace, the tremendous challenge we face from pluralism. Just as in Athens, where there was this panoply of gods, so today we're surrounded by a vast variety of different beliefs. And how we have to stand firm that there is only one God, only one way to be saved, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this evening, I want to draw this brief study of Acts 17 to a close by thinking about the most important part of Paul's evangelism, Paul's message. Because his message must be our message. The gospel has not changed, and neither has the need of the world for it. And we must preach the same good news that the apostle declared so long ago. And that same message is the same power of God, the power of God for salvation for all who believe. It is the power of God. The message is the power. Now often, don't you find that it's your enemies who actually know you best? That it's those who oppose you who actually really do understand you? Who see most clearly what you're standing for? That's why I wanted you to hear that passage from Paul's time in Thessalonica. There, the persecutors dragged some of the Christians before the local courts, and they said, verse 6, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." They've turned the world upside down. Now, the passage is deeply ironic and is actually something of a defense for Christianity. Because who is stirring up a mob? Who is breaking the law and dragging people out of their homes? Who is causing all the turmoil and the civil disruption? It's the enemies of Christianity. And the Christians are entirely innocent. You see, these Jews who were fighting against the gospel were trying to accuse the Christians of rebelling against the lawful authority of Rome, the civil government. They were almost saying that they were trying to launch a political rebellion against Caesar, acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. Now, of course, that accusation is not true. As Christians, even under evil regimes, we are called to submit, to suffer perhaps, as long as we are true to our faith. But they had got something absolutely right. The gospel turns the world upside down. The gospel, its power, utterly flips our world upside down. It changes everything. The gospel of Jesus Christ was a threat to the rule of Caesar, but not by force of arms, but by something radically different, by the power of love and grace and self-sacrifice. But Paul's enemies were absolutely right. The message of the gospel flips the world upside down. Now, that is exactly what Paul's message in Athens was all about. It was about turning the world of these Athenians upside down. Everything they stood for, everything they believed was wrong. There are not many gods, but one God. This God is not unknowable, but he's near. And the world is his creation. It's not an accident. It's not a plaything for the gods. It is the theatre of his glory. And human beings are not animals or slaves for the gods or just passing shadows. They're made in the image of this amazing God in order to know him and his love and commune with him. Do you see how radical his message to them was? All their thinking was wrong. And now that God has spoken to them through his gospel messengers, everything must change. Everything in their lives must change. The whole world, their customs, their religion, their business, everything has to change. He says God is now calling all men everywhere to repent, to change. His message was life-changing, flipped everything they believed on its head. You see, we could read the account in Acts 17, and you could mistakenly think that this was some tame academic debate in ivory towers about the nature of God. You could even, because Paul is so wise in his approach, think that somehow he's trying to find common ground with them. But that would be a mistake. That would be to fail to see that this is dynamite. The scripture says that the Greeks loved nothing more than hearing something new. And perhaps they thought, oh, well, this sounds interesting, this gospel. One more new perspective on life we can add to all our different thoughts. And Paul just blows that out of the water and says, this is something so different, so new, so world-changing. It's like nothing you've heard before. This glorious gospel of God. It's unique. And it comes with power. Turning the world upside down. Turning lives upside down. And the key thing I want you to believe and to hold to about the gospel is it has this power to change the world by changing people's lives. It is this power of God that flips this world of darkness upside down, and to believe in its power. The gospel is the message that God has turned the world upside down. He has turned the world upside down. He has acted already and changed everything. That's the good news. He has, as Paul says, as the climax of his message, raised Jesus from the dead. The gospel is news. There's something totally unique here, unprecedented. It's never happened before. Something new has occurred. The world that we live in is no longer going on in the same sad old way. God has intervened. He's changed the whole dynamic of life and the world. If there had been a newspaper, like a modern day newspaper in ancient Greece, what do you imagine its headlines might have been like year after year? They'd have probably been something like this. War in the Middle East. Empire challenged by radical religious sect. Economic uncertainty. New taxes to be raised. Man murdered coming home from temple. His jewelry stolen. Worry for today's youth. Education seems to be slipping. Scotland wants to be free of imperial rule. No, I'm kidding. But you get the idea. By and large, you would find the same sad, dark stories that you find today. Of people fighting, dying, stealing, lying, of unrest and turmoil, trouble and worries. Because that is how the world in sin is. It is lost and it is dying. And the world lies under the power of sin and death. And century after century, its outward appearance may change, but its problems at root and at nature, the cause of all our misery, are the same. So these people in Athens, different time, different culture, different language, but they're just like us. They're struggling to make sense of a sinful, fallen world that is so full of pain and suffering. But Paul declares, God has done something. God has acted. Something has occurred that now turns this whole sad way of life upside down. His son has come into the world. He's been born as a man. God comes to serve as a man. And he's lived a perfect human life. And revealed who God truly is. We have seen his glory in the flesh. And this God-man has not only called to himself a new people to rebuild the human race, but he has redeemed them. He has saved them. He has died and rose again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This endless cycle of sin and death is broken. The chains that bind man are pulled apart by Christ. This is what Paul is saying. This is the message that's so powerful. Things are not just carrying on as they've always been. There is a new power in the world. A new hope. Christ has come. And he's overthrown all the fallen powers of the world. And he's founded something better. The kingdom of God. And this new power, like yeast in the dough, is spreading throughout the earth. And it's turning all man's corruption upside down. The dead are made to live. The blind are made to see. The weak are made strong. The proud are humbled. The wicked are made to fear. And the suffering poor have hope. And this power is now at work, upending hearts and lives of countless people. As the gospel spreads, it takes dead sinners and it makes them alive to God. New spiritual life and love is born into dead hearts, and men and women are set free to enjoy happiness and peace by knowing Christ. And the values of this gospel, as it changes men and women's lives, are the complete opposite of the world's. It says, don't hoard up your money. Give it away and you'll get treasure in heaven. Don't avoid suffering. Carry your cross and win eternal life. Don't judge others, but remember your own sinfulness and be gracious. Don't strike back at those who hurt you. Love them and do them good. Don't seek to be famous or the first or the best. Be the lowest servant, putting others first. Don't indulge your own lusts and desires. Kill them and sacrifice yourself for others. Die and you will live. Humble yourself and you will be exalted. And this same powerful gospel message promises that as God has once flipped the world upside down, he is coming to do it again. That there is a day coming when his Son will judge the world in righteousness. The day is fixed, says Paul. The world will not carry on as business as usual. This evil age will end. The mountains will fall. The heavens will melt. The powers of the world will be shaken. And the stars will fall. And Christ will come and bring the new creation. And everything of this old fallen world will pass away. And there will be everlasting life. Do you see the greatness, the power of this gospel that Paul preached? We do not preach a small gospel. There is nothing greater than this, nothing more important than this. It's about the end and the beginning of all things. It's not just about you and me. It's the message that God has changed everything by this powerful gospel. And Paul calls for a response. When you hear the gospel, the only logical response, the only logical response is to turn your life upside down. You can only respond in one of two ways. Denial, that it's not true, or by turning your life upside down. Paul calls the Athenians to repent. Repent is such a small word, but it has such a ginormous meaning. It really means this. Turn everything upside down. Everything about how you lived. Everything about what you believe. Everything must change in response to this reality of what God has done. Our message is not some small, curious thing that we just impartially or dispassionately examine and ponder. It demands everything. The gospel message is not something you just add to your life as if to say, oh, well, this is my religion on a Sunday. I got this, so now all is well. And then really carry on unchanged. No, if we really believe the gospel, its power will change our whole lives. I wanted you to hear that passage from Galatians because it gives us such a clear testimony to a life changed in that way, to Paul. On the Damascus Road, he hears the voice of Christ. He's confronted with the undeniable truth that God has changed everything, that Christ is risen and ruling. And he sees that the Messiah he thought he was waiting for, he has in fact been fighting against. That the answer he was searching for is the very thing he'd been rejecting. And he's cast to the ground and he's blinded. And for 3 days he's left in darkness, fasting and praying, until a disciple is sent to explain the gospel to him. And then he responds in the only logical, rational, moral way possible. He turns his whole life upside down and he begins to preach Christ as widely and as fervently as he can. That's the only response you can give. So what it means for us, let me suggest, is twofold. And I believe that the first thing is the key to evangelism. We must be upside down people. We must be upside down people. Our conversions, our coming to Christ, might not be as quick or as dramatic as Paul's, but in our hearts, the same great change has occurred. Have you realized that everything about your old life must go? Now the gospel has come. You must turn everything upside down. You must think differently. You must speak differently. You must believe these great truths and act differently. There is no middle ground on which you can stand with one foot in the world and your past and one foot on with Christ and his call. Becoming a Christian means that you are a new creation, and one day you will be made perfect like Christ. And so the message of the gospel is a call for total commitment, the submitting of your whole life to Christ. Now we face today the same challenge that Paul faced in Athens, a hostile, unbelieving world that is confused, looking for answers, but like Paul, rejecting the very answer it needs. Believing so many different things, but the one thing it needs. But in what way was Paul different to us? My fear is that the problem today is us. That the world has not changed. We are ineffective as Christians because we are not all that we should be. Because we are not upside down enough. We are not radical enough in our service to Christ. Because we in the church are too much like the world and not new enough. Have we grasped that the message of the gospel is one of life-changing, world-changing power? That everything is different? Or are we still shaped by the world's ways and values? Are we really Christians? People who have been turned upside down by the gospel? Or are we just people who play at Christianity, that it's a supplement to our lives, having the form of godliness, but not the power? The great danger today, the great danger, is that the church neglects, denies, downplays this great change that must take place in a Christian's life. That it denies, it downplays, it ignores the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in making someone born again, making a new creation. Are we really coming, believing, laying hold of, living out that power of the gospel? Lives of love, Christ-like lives of service, transformed by his saving work. We must not make ourselves like the world in order to evangelize, but work hard at being unlike the world. And I don't mean in small, trivial ways that the world will find weird. That's where Christians have gone wrong. I mean in substantial, life-changing ways, in the values we live by being light and salt in a dark world, by being upside-down people who are like Christ. We must be new people if we're to share the gospel. And secondly, understand that the gospel calls for men and women to repent, to turn everything upside down. We are no longer living in a Christian country. Now, by that, I mean a country that is dominated by a Christian ethos and values. There was a time when even someone who was not a Christian would still think in broadly Christian terms about life, faith, about who God is. And so as a Christian, it would be much easier to share the gospel. Many people would still come to church, even if they weren't really sure about being a Christian. And there was a basic common morality that bound our society together, that grew from our Christian heritage. Those times have gone. We live in a 21st century Athens. And so the call for men and women to come to Christ is going to be as radical and as different as it was in Paul's time in Athens. We're not calling for men and women to make small adjustments to become a Christian, but to change everything. And so that means that our work as Christians is going to take time. And we mustn't get discouraged. But we have to be patient. And in love, graciously, living Christian lives, sharing the power of the gospel, look for it to work as people have to make this huge leap into Christ's kingdom. It will take time for the enormity of the gospel to sink in as people hear it. It's going to take longer for more people to come to that point of professing faith and joining the church. You know that in the first centuries of the church, in these times, that very often they would take a year to catechize new believers before they were baptized and joined the church. Those days are coming again because there's such a huge change to take place. But to be encouraged, it is not hopeless. Believe in this amazing power of the gospel to heal people, to set people free, to save them from sin. And as it is preached, as it is shared, as our lives are transformed, believe the Holy Spirit is at work. Believe he's at work changing lives. Paul writes to the Ephesians about this power of the gospel. He says in chapter 1, verse 19, he calls it the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked when he raised Christ from the dead. See what he's saying there? He's saying, here's this power that raised Jesus from the dead. Something new has happened, but that same power is working in us. It is working in us. And when we share the gospel, that same power goes forth through God's word, and it will raise people from the dead. From their death in sin, their death in the misery of the world, and it will give them new life. Believe in this mighty power of the gospel, brothers and sisters. That's the message Paul proclaimed. It turns the world upside down. May we be upside down people because of the power of this gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, where would we be without Christ? We would be lost in our sins. There would be no hope. But thank you, Lord, for this life-changing power you have sent to us, for the gift of your Son, how he died for us, how he is raised for us, and how now he lives in us to give us eternal life. Lord, we pray, please grant us a boldness to preach the gospel. Please, O Lord, use us as a church to be faithful witnesses. And we pray, Lord, that you would turn upside down the lives of many men and women, painful and difficult though that will be, and give them new life in Christ, we pray. Please, Lord, grant us boldness, grant us faith. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.